The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
People of Earth, if you can hear my voice, you have arrived at another episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope. I am your host, Brent Pope, and my guest today is actor Tom Michelson. You've seen this dude on shows like Pam and Tommy, How to Get Away with Murder, Jane the Virgin, Room 104. And that's not all. We had a delightful breakfast at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in Pasadena. So let's go. We have Tom Michelson today on Breakfast.
Pick it up.
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
That could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
I didn't need any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing?
What? Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too. I'm always playing blue-collar guys.
Breakfast. Let me screw through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
I love a crawler. Yeah. All my uncles got the gout. Jalapeno / cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
Tom Michelson, welcome to the Tiny Studio LA in NoHo.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I feel like I finally made it. You know, I get to hear the breakfast intro. I get to be in the Tiny Studio in NoHo. I've made it, guys. I'm here.
There you go. I'm glad to have you on the show finally, man. Yeah. We've talked about it for a while and it just like hasn't kind of, you know, schedules are like crazy, you know,
sure,
all over the place.
Sure.
So Tom, you maybe have the distinction of having the most interesting breakfast listening experience of any person I know. I guess I'll just let you tell it.
Sure. So I think say for a fact that we listen to the breakfast podcast at our house every single day, probably more than any other household in the world, mm-hmm. in any of the countries that you have listeners to. And it's because we rescued a dog a few years ago who's great and lovely, super cuddly and fun, but he has separation anxiety. And whenever we leave the house, it was such a big issue. And one of the things I was researching and reading on is that sometimes playing a podcast where mm-hmm. you know, where your dog can hear someone's voice would help them maybe relax and calm down and not be so stressed. So when I needed a podcast to listen to, the first thing I thought of course, was
breakfast.
Yeah. So I started playing breakfast every time we would leave the house for my dog. And I can say he hasn't torn anything up. And he's kind of become a relaxed pooch now. And we've been doing it for maybe a year and a half. I don't know. I remember telling you soon after it started, but we've been doing it ever since. And so now I think, I don't think you've ever met him, but when you do, he's going to be starstruck.
Yeah.
When he finally meets the Brent Pope from Breakfast. So I get to listen to your podcast almost every day and I listen to episodes over and over. And so does my dog, Soba. And so we're big Breakfast fans at our house.
I feel like with my soothing voice and your one dog as proof.
Yes.
Just like the company Theranos, we're ready to get this FDA approved.
Yes.
For
pooch anxiety.
As pooch anxiety.
Yes. Although I have a second dog and that dog is very depressed. So maybe we'll have to do some research.
He was very happy before he listened to your podcast.
He's so loving, but he's never bitten anyone before, but he might when he meets you. Who knows? Because he's...
Well, look, Tom, when you're trying to change the world, sacrifices have to be made.
One breakfast plate at a time. Yeah, sacrifices have to be made. So yeah, we listen to breakfast all the time in our house.
Oh, wow. It's very flattering and it's just like bizarre all at the same time. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's great. Well, I don't listen to podcasts really. So I was what podcast do I... Breakfast. I was like, my buddy's got one. That's the one. So we listen to breakfast all the time.
Let me ask you this. Is your dog always trying to get you to take him to like different breakfast spots now? Like,
you know, he does go outside. Yeah.
How about that waffle place?
Yeah. He's like, I've been here, but I've heard about this place.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Try the breakfast
burrito. I should
have
brought him to Roscoe's, actually.
God, you should have. Yeah.
How about some Venezuelan food?
Exactly.
Breakfast also teaches dogs to talk.
Yeah, does a lot of things, cures anxiety and teaches speech.
You heard it first here, guys. Mm-hmm. Breakfast, changing the world, one rescue dog at a time. you mentioned you did spend a lot of time in Hawaii.
I did, yeah.
You were born in Palau, though, right?
Actually, I was born in the state of Maine. You know, it's funny, like, even though I was born in Maine, like, by 5 months, we had moved out to the Pacific, where my mom's from. And so that's why I don't really necessarily, I've visited Maine a few times, but I definitely am Pacific Islander kind of, you know, raised, even though I wasn't necessarily born there.
Were one or both of your parents from Hawaii or Palau or something?
Yeah, so
like
my mom's Palauan. So my mom's from
Palau.
Yeah, so my dad's from Maine. So I was born in Maine, and then 5 months old, we moved out to Micronesia in the Pacific. And then that's where I was raised. And then I ended up in Hawaii for school because, you know, you could get a better education out there than you could out in the boonies of the Pacific.
Yeah.
And the school I went to was a boarding high school. So that's why I was able to kind of stay at school and board there, even though I was from Palau. So now when people ask, you know, if it's a quick kind of passing by moment, I'll tell people, oh, I'm from Hawaii because it's easier. Like, I went to Hawaii and I stayed for college there, too. But originally I'm from Palau.
Did you go to the University of Hawaii?
Yeah, I went to University of Hawaii.
Hawaii Rainbows?
Yep, Rainbow nice. Warriors. That's right.
Rainbow Warriors, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Rainbow Wahine volleyball team, very famous, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You got a good team.
Yeah, very good team.
So Palau, I know nothing about at all. I mean, what am I missing from Palau? What's the cool? Give me the broad strokes. What's cool about Palau?
So, you're not alone. A lot of people don't know anything about Palau, which is fine. It's a small island in the Pacific. It's so far over west that it's in the same time zone as Japan.
Oh,
its biggest, most famous parts about it are its diving tourism sure, and diving. It's like number one for diving in the world. It was actually Japan's headquarters in the Pacific during World War II.
Oh.
So there was a lot of World War II battles there. And so there's a lot of sunken battleships, planes that have been downed, tanks that have been left behind. So wherever you go around the island, there's a lot of history for, you know, World War II and, of course, diving and seeing that. And we have some of the most beautiful waters in the world. Just like, you know, Hawaii and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I grew up out there, not in America, which was very interesting because, you know, I have an American father. And that's why I feel like sometimes people don't realize that I'm, you know, a lot of times I don't feel like I'm American, even though I really much am, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. But also, you know, Palau, as much as it is its own culture with its own language, everybody there speaks English. We use American money because after World War II, the Americans took over. And and here we are.
That's interesting that you mentioned that they speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another language that people also speak there?
Yes, Palauan.
Okay. Because I guess in the Filipino culture, where I have a white dad,
mm-hmm.
But my mom's from the Philippines.
Yeah.
But if I go to the Philippines, I don't speak Tagalog. Well, first of all, there's many dialects in the Philippines. So my wife...
Like Ilocano, Tagalog.
And, right. Yeah. And my mom's is Visayan, which is not the same as Tagalog.
Right.
So I'll get a lot of guff from people here. They're like, oh, you're Filipino. Oh, do you speak Tagalog? And I'm like, no. And then it's almost like they don't consider me to be Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it's probably a little different in Palau because everyone speaks English anyway.
I would imagine it's maybe more similar because in the Philippines, I think a lot of people speak English there too, right? Like, or no, not so much. Maybe it depends on where you go.
It depends on where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because for me, though, I definitely struggle with the same thing. I, you know, just like you, I have a white American dad, and then I have my mom's from Palau. And growing up in the Pacific, I was raised in a house very American, you know?
Yeah.
Because my parents met when my mom went to college in the mainland, in Maine. So she was very invested in American culture at that time. And when we came home, we were living in that environment. And so I actually, and because everybody spoke English and in school, especially in Micronesia, they're trying to teach everybody English. So they don't really speak Palauan or any, you know, of native languages at school, really, or at least you're not even taught that with instruction, I mean. So I don't actually even know that much Palauan. Like I know more Japanese because I took Japanese as an elective. In high school and college, I know more Japanese than I do Palauan, which is really weird. So I get the same thing because if I'm in Palau and then someone's speaking Palauan to me, and if I don't know what they're saying, then there's that look of judgment like, oh, geez, you don't even know. And then if I come out, then no matter where I go, you know, I'll come out to Maine. I remember visiting Maine as a child and my brother and I being the only kids with black hair, you know, for like miles and miles. And I just felt like people were getting looked at a little bit and standing out in that way. So I definitely have that feeling of where do I fit in and where do I belong? And Hawaii actually really helped me in that way, moving to Hawaii, because it's such a more of a melting pot with a lot of different cultures and a lot of different peoples. And no two people are the same, almost ethnicity. Everybody's mixed with different things. And so I feel like Hawaii's become more of like a central home base kind of home for me.
Yeah.
Because I get that island life when I get to visit, and I get internet too. not, I mean, Palau has internet, but you know, like I get to watch a movie in the theater. And things like that, which is great. And Palau is great for visiting and going back to, but I definitely feel like Hawaii is more of becoming a place that I can feel like can be mine.
You know?
I'm not an outsider in that sense.
God, so Hawaii is a place I really want to go to, but maybe this will make sense to you. I feel the same way about Hawaii as I do about South by Southwest. The festival is like, I want to go there, but I only want to go there if I'm invited, if I'm getting paid to go there or something.
Right. No, I totally like I can see that
because there's so many shows that shoot or there are few shows that shoot in Hawaii.
Yes,
and then I could go to South by Southwest any year I want to also. But I was like, I want to go there when I have a project there.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yeah. No, that would make it so much sweeter to get it covered. Like your house, yeah. Where you're gonna stay covered. Maybe your meals daily. Yeah. Get to work there. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a lot sweeter too. I've done something on my short list of things I want to accomplish is booking something in Hawaii. That's a good reason to go back and visit. And
well, that was the best thing about NCIS Hawaii, right? Mm-hmm. Is that now there's another show that shoots in Hawaii.
Yes,
I think it shoots there anyway.
It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. So that's, and it's funny. Last time I went back, my cousin drove me by their little lot where they film out in Kapolei side, actually. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm like, okay, now I know if I ever book, I know where to go now.
Is that the only show shooting there now?
I want to say there's, let me think.
So Hawaii Five-O is done.
Oh, Hawaii Five-O is done, yes.
I mean, Lost was there, but like it was years and years ago.
You know, maybe it's just a lot of movies and stuff. Like Netflix just recently had that interesting Goonies type movie. I can't remember the name, but it took place in Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
And they filmed there and they had local actors there.
Yeah.
So, and actually even White Lotus. Filmed in Maui. So there's a lot of movies happening out there. I know Hallmark shoots some stuff out there. So right now, maybe the only show is NCIS. Oh, Magnum PI.
Oh, that's right. The other one. Magnum PI.
That's the other one.
Yeah, so we got two chances right now.
Here
at least.
We go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
Let's
listening.
Go.
Yeah, book us, guys. We're ready.
Look, if you need somebody that's like a dad and his nephew.
Right. No, more like younger brother or barely younger, like 1 year younger brother.
Sure. We're Irish ready. Twins.
Yeah, if you need Irish twins. Pacific Irish twins.
Pacific Irish twins.
Exactly. We're ready.
One more thing I want to ask you about Palau.
Yeah.
Or Hawaii. What's the food where you're like, you got to have this? And I know some of the main foods, but like, there's got to be something where you're like, dude, this is something you can't get here. And
Totally. I'll try to keep it succinct for each. So in Hawaii, one thing that I have a hard time finding is really good Hawaiian plate lunch food. A lot of times out here, I feel like it's people's interpretation of it. And I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it. Sometimes it's like, let's say chicken katsu, right?
Okay.
Which sounds like a normal thing.
Right.
I've been to places here where they'll use like a chicken breast, which is a little bit drier than usually they use the thighs, I feel like, back home. So
right.
I'm like, okay, that's a little different, you know?
Yeah, katsu should be kind of juicy, which is not what you're going to get with the
juicy.
Chicken breast.
Yeah. So I feel like finding a really good like Hawaiian plate lunch place that's a good price and also has like the right kind of flavors and textures, I think that's a hard thing to find. In Palau, there's a lot of really interesting, unique food. One of my most favorite things is a dish called the muk, which is a taro leaf soup, but it's a very thick, hearty soup that is very viscous even.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just full of taro leaves. And I don't know what they put in it to make it that good, but it also looks so unappetizing. It's this really dark green slop that looks like what you'd feed to the pigs. But I swear to you, it tastes so good.
You did say viscous, which is usually an adjective only attached to oil. Right. You know, the viscosity is beyond belief.
Or sometimes syrup. So a good syrup is viscous.
I
remember being a kid thinking like, God, that does not look good, but it tastes so good. I think the most similar thing for people who might be able to experience it, if you've been to Hawaii and you've had squid luau, which is a similar thing, which is, you know, green, but it's more seafoody. That's like a Hawaii version of that. So that's something that I love in Palau that if you go, you must get.
I don't know the answer to this. How did Spam become a big thing for the Philippines and for Hawaii?
I think I know this one. It's because of World War II.
Oh.
When they needed to get food out to the soldiers out there, Spam could survive the shipping all the way out there. And it was cheaper than actually trying to get meat and livestock and stuff. So they would just can it and ship it and fly it. And they would even, I think in Plow even, they would just drop it from the sky, like rations, you know, over like certain bases. So they wouldn't have to land and stuff. So so that's how it, and it, and then they would start giving it to the islanders, because before then, everything they would eat is not processed and, you know, fresh and not seasoned sometimes. So when them eating Spam was like them having crack for the first time. They're like, holy crap, this has so much flavor. Yeah. This goes with everything.
It's true.
And that's why it blew up and it's become, you know, I think the thing it is out in the Pacific and the Philippines.
There's a place called Jollibee out here, at least at the one I go to in Pan Arab City. They don't have Spam anymore.
You know, So I
don't go there anymore, Tom.
So this is our rant for Jollibee. Yeah. I actually have only eaten there a couple of times because I think they now have them in Hawaii, but I never got to have them until I came out here. But so I didn't know they had Spam. I know they had fried chicken. I know they have spaghetti. And
it's basically like a little Spam slider you get or something like that. Yeah,
that sounds like it's a real mistake on their part. And we need to write some strongly worded letters to Mr. Jollibee.
What is the thing you get where it's like the Spam wrapped in the
musubi? Oh, so that is my jam. So that's one thing that also I hate about not living in Hawaii anymore is that 7-Eleven. You can go to any 7-Eleven in Hawaii, and they got a little hot kind of tray of Spam musubis. They've got, you'd call them baos out here, like the Chinese ones. But manapuas, you'd have like shumai, which they call pork hash. And so you could go, if you want a quick snack, you can go in and for less than, you know, like $2 or sometimes even a dollar, you can get a musubi or get some snacks for the day or for the beach. And here, you would never go to get food at 7-Eleven unless you were in some sort of crisis situation, right?
There used to be a place on Ventura called Take a Bow, which was B-A-O.
Oh.
Yeah, which the Filipino, they call it something else. I'm blaming
it. But if I heard it, I would recognize it. Yeah.
Siopao.
They call it Siopao.
And I like those. I don't like the ones with the sweet meat as much, where it's like kind of reddish, sweet. I like the ones that's a little more salty. But
sometimes it's their version of the barbecue pork. Yeah. It's a little bit too sweet.
But that dough, I mean, I don't know how is it steamed? Is that how they get it?
It's steamed, that white. Yeah, you can have a baked one. That's the more the traditional kind of brown. But the steamed one is...
That's the one I always see. Yeah.
It's like dim sum.
God, I'm getting hungry. Well, let's switch over to like some of your acting stuff, man. Because I think it's interesting too, because I think you and I had... I don't know where we met. Did we meet through your friend Anne?
Yes. Yeah. Anna Kilo. Who hilarious, talented actress.
I met through like just a group of people that were just making videos and stuff together. I think this is maybe like right before you started booking stuff.
Yes, so, it was right around the time I had just moved. We met when Anne asked me to come out and hang out with you. It was more of like a, hey, you know, we're starting in this industry. We're coming up. Let's meet with a bona fide actor who's like doing it, you know? Like,
and then he wasn't available. So you're like, well, what about Brent? How about Brent?
Yeah, then you came and sat down for some reason, started talking to us. No. And we really were like,
guys.
Hey, let's talk to like someone who's working in Hollywood and it is where we would want to be. And that's how we met. And so I remember meeting. It was very, thank you for meeting with new actors who are, you know, coming up into the industry. And that was very nice of you to even do that.
Yeah, well, I thought I showed up early enough where you guys wouldn't be there yet. And then I could just like leave and leave a note.
Be like, oh, I tried. You didn't show.
They were, if you're not 50 minutes early, you're late. And then you're like, same.
2:01, gotta leave.
Thank you. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I think it's an important thing to do is like, we're all somewhere on a path of where we want to go. And so there's people that have helped me, and advice is not even the right word. It's just like talking about your experience and just letting people know that it could be different things and things like that.
Right.
And so I thought it was great. And Anne is such a sweetheart and so talented.
Yeah.
And you're also... an actor.
We were also there.
No, look, I went to one of your guys' Groundling shows, and it was, you guys both just killed it. So
awesome, thanks. But you know, echoing what you said, I've that's one thing I've learned in this industry too, especially being here, is that I think the best way to thrive and survive is to pay it forward, you know, and be there for other people and. Because that kind of stuff comes around. And whether you believe in karma or not, even if you don't believe in karma, like if you help another actor out and or you refer them to somebody, to an agent or manager, or you give them advice when you can, when an opportunity comes up, like those, they'll remember you.
Right.
Right. And so, not that you should be doing things because, you want something out of it, but I really do believe that, especially in this industry where it's about who you know and, and getting and letting people know who you are.
Right.
It really helps to help anybody who is in this industry too, because we're all in it together, all trying to come up. Right.
Yeah. And people are going to remember you regardless.
Yeah.
So if you're a dick, they're going to remember that too.
They're going to remember that.
And they're going to quietly tell everyone, he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, they're like, that guy, don't hang out with him.
So I made you guys sign this NDA before I started being a dick, just so you were not allowed.
This is true. No comment.
We met at a steampunk cafe, which closed immediately when the pandemic came out.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I've told this story on the show before, but it bears repeating that the owner of the building would not give them any break on rent. And in fact, when they closed, he turned it into a mask store. So
what?
Yeah.
It sucks. There's been so many mom and pop shops I've seen close. And the signs outside just say like, couldn't afford rent. And it's just, man, what are these building owners doing?
There's no right or wrong answer, but it's like, we're all trying to survive in Hollywood. We're also just trying to live, and no one expected this was going to happen anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What was the first show that you booked?
The first show that I booked was Jane the Virgin.
Ah, wow.
Yes, that was my first co-star, first thing I booked in Hollywood. And, and any actor will always remember that first thing that really made them feel like, okay, I'm maybe not crazy for trying to pursue this.
Yeah.
People can see what I think exists, and I'm... Like as Sally Field said, you love me. You really love me. You
know? It's such, this is going to sound melodramatic because we are, after all,
we are actors.
We're so actors. But like when you get that first TV show, it is a huge weight. And then I feel like it's just because you got the one and you have that one credit, it almost makes it like five times easier to get the next one.
100%. I think that it's a catch-22 situation. Like, people want to know that, you can book and you can work on set, but you need that first opportunity to book and work on set. And if you're not given that, or if you can't convert that, down, so to speak, you're kind of stuck in this weird situation where, I'll put you in stuff if you book more. It's like, well, if I book, then, you can book me in stuff. So, getting that first one on Jane the Virgin was so freaking huge and amazing. And I think it actually helped that in the end it ended up being having no lines. It was a weird kind of maybe featured background because it was a co-star.
Well, there are co-stars that don't have lines.
Yeah, so it was a no-line co-star, which I think helped because, walking onto a set, it's almost like going 0 to 60.
Yeah.
And, you're on there with the other actor who's a very, well-known person who you see all the time. There's 40 people on a sound studio, on a set. They give you a trailer. All of a sudden, you just hit the big leagues.
Right.
I was like, if I had any more to do, I would probably shit the bed.
Yeah.
So it really worked out that I think it was a co-star with no lines, and because it just helped me kind of get that under my belt.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Jane the Virgin, I'll say this from my own perspective, I think I've auditioned for that show more than any other show.
Oh, I don't know if I knew that. Really?
Probably, I want to say like 12 times.
Holy crap.
And never booked it.
Really?
I think maybe I was pinned once.
Mm. Maybe they heard you talk. And that's why they, because then for me, when they heard me talk, like, we're not going to give them lines. So maybe
they
heard your voice.
I should have negotiated.
Yeah.
Hey, do you have any like non-speaking words?
In that case. Yeah.
The thing is, though, I always had a lot of fun auditioning at that office,
Yeah, the Radford lot, right?
Yeah, on the Radford lot.
Yep.
I always thought it was super fun. It was like one of those, again, this is like first world problems. We're like, the auditioning room is so close to everyone else outside. They can, because you can kind of hear people's auditions
sometimes
there.
Sometimes that happens. Yeah, and that's another kind of, some mental gymnastics you have to kind of get around.
Yeah.
Because you're like, wait, he's making the choice that I was going to make now that, and that
becomes
this big thing.
Or
you're like, oh, well, should I do that?
or you're next, and all you hear inside is like, ah!
Yes.
All right, we'll see you on set. Okay, Tom.
Yeah. No, the worst is when you're about to walk in, they're like, it was so great. They're on a first name basis, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, so great seeing you again. Okay, I'll see you at the thing tomorrow, right? Okay, cool. All right, bye. Who's next? Is it this Tom Michael Mikkelchen? Okay.
Taum.
Yeah.
It's Tom.
Yeah. It's like, how do you know how to pronounce Michelson, but not Tom? Yeah. I just remembered we ran into each other on that same Radford lot after a Brooklyn Nine-Nine audition.
That's right.
And then we went and had lunch. Yeah. We went in for the same janitor guy, Irish, you know, Islander, Pacific Islander twins. There you go.
That's right. That, we neither one of us booked. I know. I didn't book it.
But,
I was pinned for that show a couple times, too. That was one I really wanted to be on.
Oh, I would have loved to be on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Same. It's one of my favorite shows.
I don't remember who booked this part of it. It was one of my friends. It might have been. But the one where I like really wanted to do it, and I think I was pinned for it, was they were getting married.
Oh,
Adam Sandberg was getting married to Melissa Fumero.
Her character's name. Sorry.
And they were getting married, and he was having a Yakatama Plaza cake delivered. And there's a character that was the guy who was delivering the Yakatami. Is Yakatomi Plaza? It's the Die Hard Plaza.
Yeah, the Die Hard Plaza. Yeah. I think Yakatomi.
Yakatomi Plaza cake. And I was like, oh, I really want that. Because, you know, it's going to be like high visibility.
It'll be high, and it's probably a GIF. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
But I didn't get that one. Anyway.
It's okay. On to the next one.
There's an actor. It's so crazy. There's so many cool shows that you're almost on. And mm-hmm. then sometimes you're on the shows you really love, and then sometimes on shows that like you have known nothing about, and you become a fan of it. It's just all sorts.
Yeah, that's happened to me a couple times. Not to jump ahead, but Pam and Tommy was like that.
Yeah, tell me about Pam and Tommy.
Yeah, that was the most recent show I was on, and it was interesting experience because for me, I didn't know much about the show. I knew it was going to be about Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee, and you know, it's one of those things you think you know what's going on, and so. When the show finally came out, I started watching it just to get an idea, and then I got hooked. It's a really good show. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out. It was, I don't think they, you know, definitely it's, of course, everything's, you know, dramatized, but if you, or dramatized, I mean, but I don't think they pull any punches in terms of making anybody look like too good of a, you know, too much of an angel or making anyone look too bad. But I got to do a scene with Seth Rogen, which was really cool.
Awesome.
And that was an interesting moment because he's definitely one of the bigger A-listers that I've ever got a chance to work with. And it's always an interesting thing when you see them in real life and you're like, oh, you're, you know, you're maybe, oh, I didn't know you were that tall or that short. Or, you know, it's always that interesting thing. And we got to do a little scene, and that was a fun scene to do. I improvised a little moment at the end of my scene where I go in and the scene, spoilers, if you haven't seen it, it's a very minor spoiler. Seth Rogen's coming back to his old apartment to grab the tape that he had stole. And he goes into the bathroom and he hit it in a vent. So I'm just a construction guy or handyman there.
Yeah.
In the meantime, and when he's leaving, I improv more of like looking back in the room, like, what the hell was he going after? And the director was like, oh, that's so great. You know, like, let's do that again. And we did it a couple times. And it's now that, you know, I'm booking and working more, like even just feeling that little bit of confidence as an actor to like, to remember, you know, I'm here to help move the story along and I'm here to contribute. Right.
Right.
And I don't want to overstep, you know, I'm not going to be like, so Seth, here's what I'm thinking. I'm not going to do that. But it was nice to kind of, again, similar to that first moment of like, I'm an actor, I booked a co-star. Now to be able to be like, I'm an actor, you know, I can contribute and be part of this on set. I'm not just some, you know, background prop, you know?
Right. Yeah, you definitely could be on set and contribute despite all the letters I've sent to the various shows.
After sending all the letters about Jollibee. There's
Jollibee. Only room for one, Tom exactly. Michaels.
Exactly.
Oh, that's cool. Well, the cool thing, too, I think, is like, I think I've had a similar thing. Is like, most of the shows I booked are like pretty big shows.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're not like, because there's a bunch of shows, and not that any of the shows are less important, but there's some shows that are like network shows. Everybody's seen the commercials.
Yeah.
Everybody's aware of them.
Right.
And so when you say like, oh, I was on How to Get Away with Murder, everybody knows about that show.
Yes.
Everybody knows about Jane the Virgin.
Right. But then whereas HBO, you know, the Room 104 show, mm-hmm. not a lot of people know about that. And that was probably one of my bigger roles that I've had so far, which was a lot of fun too. But yeah, again, exactly. It's more, there's a little more excitement behind it. If everybody's heard of it and it's, everybody knows that it's a show everyone talks about.
Well, Room 104, I'm interested in that because it's one of those like kind of horror, ridiculous type shows. So you preparing for that type performance, is it a lot different in your mind?
It wasn't. And this, so this, and I will say this episode that I was in was even more out there.
Yeah.
So the, for those who don't know, Room 104 was kind of like a Twilight Zone where every episode was different, but they all took place in this weird motel in Room 104. So every story was different with different actors and different things happening. And sometimes it was supernatural. Sometimes it was sci-fi.
Yeah.
And so the episode I was in started maybe at the dawn of time. With Kevin McKidd as some, like, you know, warrior in, like, fur and garb, having an eternal sword battle.
Right.
And so it ended up being a Highlander-inspired episode. So he's, the whole first 20 minutes is him in, like, you know, and in some, like, ancient prehistoric lands speaking, you know, speaking almost Shakespearean and having eternal magical battles. And then he falls into a portal.
Yeah.
And he lands in Room 104. And my scene is I'm a dad with his kids and his wife playing Monopoly on the bed when he lands through the ceiling.
Yes.
So I remember reading the script like, what the hell? This is really crazy. And even watching the episode's even weirder because, you know, especially if you watch Room 104, it takes place in our time today. And all of a sudden the first 20 minutes is like some old prehistoric battle. So that one was a little bit different. And that was a lot of fun, too, because there was a stunt involved with Kevin McKidd having to fall. He had to jump off of a ladder onto the bed.
Oh, I was wondering if he...
Yeah, so that's how they did that. But so it was a little bit different because no matter what, like, you know, I had to remember my part of this story is to have that juxtaposition happen when he comes in from this magical place. And so I'm not, my part of it is not necessarily inspired by all that supernatural craziness. Yeah. So when I was preparing for that, I had to remember I'm coming in for this to be huge, a huge juxtaposition and be weird and be as normal as possible if this guy with this, you know, like dressed in like all these animal furs with like this huge sword just landed right in the middle of me, right? Out of a portal of like lightning, which is how it was described.
Yeah.
The one thing that was really funny about that too is when I arrived on set, my wife and kids were extras and my wife was like blonde hair, blue eyed and the kids were blonde hair, blue eyed. So I was like, who's the milkman in this universe?
Yeah, right?
Because I was like, these kids don't look like they're Pacific, they're Micronesian.
Right.
Or they're Pacific Islander like me. I'm pretty sure they don't have slipper tans like I do. But okay, no problem.
Slipper tans. Now, I notice you call them slippers.
Oh, yes.
California, a lot of people call them flip-flops.
Sorry, flip-flops, yes.
No. I think this is an interesting nomenclature. Mm-hmm. Is that the right word? I don't know.
Maybe.
Things that they call... You're calling slippers?
Yes.
Flip-flops. I think a lot...
Because what I've learned since I've moved out here is that slippers are what you wear inside.
Yeah.
Right? They're, which makes sense. They're a thing you slip on. But yeah, that's a thing. I there's a few kind of sayings or phrases that I still say that I think are just ingrained into my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like, you know, but mostly it's like Hawaii kind of like slang or the, you know, speech. And slippers is one of them. I can't... call them flip-flops. It just hurts my ears way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one is when I'm describing singing, you know, to lyrics on a screen,
okay,
it's karaoke.
Okay.
I can't say karaoke.
Yeah.
Like, it just hurts my heart. Because,
I
think I hear Marco from Hawaii laughing in the booth about that. But, yeah.
I agree with you in my head. I agree with you, right?
Yes.
It should be karaoke. But then I also think, like, well, if I say it like that, people are going to be like, you're not Japanese, a-hole.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like,
and
okay.
Let me clarify that. Yeah. I'm not judging anyone else for saying it wrong. I'm just saying I can't say it wrong. So, I mean, I can't bring myself to always call it karaoke. I just have to say karaoke. And I know people look at me like, what are you trying to do? Especially out here.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in Hawaii, no one's going to.
No. Yeah.
Everyone will look weird if you say the other thing. Same with slippers. I'm like, if people want to call them flip-flops, that's fine. I just can't bring myself to do it.
I feel the same way about the street that everyone calls Los Feliz. And we know it should be Los Feliz, right?
Los Feliz. Oh, Los Feliz.
Like Los Angeles,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Oh, okay.
Where it should be Los Feliz.
Los Feliz.
But then people are like, well, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Yeah.
That
makes sense, though. But yeah, see, I'm not being from LA. Like, I'm not growing up with Spanish, even.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily know that. So that's good to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Los Feliz now.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. I got you, Brent.
Nice. And I don't know if this is a Midwestern thing or a Filipino thing, but I feel like a lot of people I know call them thongs. Which...
I've heard that, too. I think that might be in an American thing, a Midwestern thing.
It might be a Midwestern thing.
I think that's more. I've heard that, too.
So you're saying there are certain things you say that might have like a slightly different meaning.
Yes.
Gotcha. So that makes a ton of sense to me because you're always saying like, oh, Brent, I don't respect you. And so that must mean like that you really respect me. Is that like a Hawaiian thing?
That's one that means exactly what I'm saying. But okay. And there are other things too.
Duly noted. Yes.
Yeah. Like when I say nice shirt, that's a real big diss.
Okay.
That's why every day you think you have nice shirts. But whew.
Oh my God, I've been posting like every time you do that, I'd literally post myself a selfie on Instagram that day.
And then, you know, notice every time I post on your comments, I'm like, nice shirt. Like that's the tone. I want you to remember that.
Like, yeah. And I'm always like hashtag feeling good.
But then I always second that, but like hashtag feeling good. Like I just want you to know that's the tone.
I really thought you were also feeling good. Oh yeah, boy.
I'm feeling good about how hilarious you look, if anything. But sorry, everybody. Brent and I can riff for a very long time. We'll try to have this not be riff talk.
Well, hey, before we go any further, we did have breakfast at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, an absolute staple in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are several locations.
Yes.
You live closer to, and I prefer to go to the one in Pasadena just because the line is not out of control.
Oh, yeah.
Usually there.
Right in, yeah.
What'd you think of Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles?
It was great. You know, so, and I loved the opportunity of doing the show because it's one of those things, like you said, I live so close, but because I'm so close, I don't go. So it was great that we went because I got to have it again. And yeah, like they make a mean waffle. Yeah. I was very surprised because whenever I'm getting like a breakfast thing, I would feel like it's more, especially like a carb type thing. It's usually like pancakes or French toast. I don't usually get waffles, but I was like, damn, this is a pretty good waffle. Yeah. Of course, they crush fried chicken. So
it's a skinny.
I had to do the fried chicken and waffles.
Right. I believe it's a skinny buckwheat waffle, I think.
Oh.
It's skinnier than, let's say, the waffle you get if you.
If you made it at home or something like
that. Yeah. Or if you have the waffle maker at the hotel.
Yeah.
It's like the big thick.
But it's also wider. It's like the size of a
So it's not
plate.
A Belgian waffle, I guess.
Yeah. Right. Is that what the thicker one's a Belgian?
I think
maybe?
That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's my preferred one. That was one of the better waffles I've had at Roscoe's because it was nice and kind of crispy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was
that's really good.
Perfect crisp and, of course, with the butter and the syrup.
But
this is good.
They do some of the best fried chicken, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
That's,
and,
that's probably why they're so famous. Yeah.
You had like some dark meat chicken with a waffle.
Yep.
Anything else?
And iced tea, which at first was sweet.
They gave us sweet tea. We didn't ask for sweet tea. They gave it to us, but then I loved it.
Yeah, it was a good kind of sweet, too. It wasn't like too crazy, and I was like, I'm going to keep drinking this.
Yeah, it was real good sweet tea.
Yeah, it was really good sweet tea.
I don't know what made
refill,
it real good.
It was unsweet.
Oh, yeah, and I got a refill that was not sweet, and I was like, well, that was good, too. Because
that's what I wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I had also the grits there.
Yeah, how was that?
I've been into grits a lot recently. It's hard to get it at a lot of places or where they make them really well, but like they make the grits, I think, pretty legit there.
And grits is something I've only kind of discovered, you know, in my adult life, moving out to the mainland. So to eat grits, right, do you put butter in it? I think I've heard that.
There's several ways. I mean, it's not plain. Usually there's butter in it already, I think, can put more butter in it.
Got it.
But there's also the whole thing, are you going to make it savory or sweet? That's why it's very versatile. You could put like syrup in it or something, and that's completely legit. I put like a hot sauce, like a Red Rooster in there. It's pretty good. That's what I like to go with. And then I put my eggs on top of it too, because it's almost like the eggs soak into the thing, and it's like
That sounds good, actually.
Whole mishmashy type thing.
Yeah, because
you know?
And that kind of reminds me of, not that you would make it, you know, put hot sauce in it, but like poi in Hawaii, like you can either have it plain or you can add sugar, and you can have it different ways depending on what you like. And I've always, I think when I was introduced to grits, I was told that you put butter in it, but I saw you putting hot sauce. I was like, oh shit,
there was butter on it too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That sounds really good.
You know, this reminds me of something that I always think sounds really good. That's Hawaiian. Or that I think of as Hawaiian, and I've never had a good version of it, so I need to find a place where I can get a good loco moco.
Oh, yes.
Is that something where it's hard to get good at a restaurant, and it's more like homemade, or...?
I think that it's hard to get good at a restaurant, especially out here, because depending on what your favorite part of the loco moco is, like, let's say if it's the gravy,
you
know, people make gravy different, so...
Yeah.
If it's the burger, the patty, then, you know, how do they make their burger? Like, what spices and what are they putting in?
Mm-hmm.
So it depends kind of on, if you want more of what you're looking for more. I haven't, like I said, I've had a hard time finding, like, really good Hawaiian barbecue out here, which to me means cheap and good.
Mm-hmm.
So out here, it would be tough. But, back home, you know, we can find some spots. You know, you even have ones where you put like grilled onions in it too, in the gravy, or they have mushroom in it too. There's one spot that's one of my faves on Oahu. It's North Shore side. It's called Papa Ole's. And they not only make an awesome loco moco, they have different kinds. They have ones with white gravy, white mushroom gravy instead of kind of the darker, beef broth gravy. So, and they all have grilled onions in it. So that place, when we go to Hawaii for that show we book, I'm going to bring you there.
Oh man, that would be so much fun if we both booked the show at the same
time. I don't think we would work. That would be way too fun. Yeah.
It did happen to me once where a guy that I knew, we had taken some class together like 15 years ago. Before I was even, when I was just like messing around with like sketch and not even really seriously doing acting, going to auditions and stuff. And he was already doing stuff that I had met. And then like I booked a show like 15 years later and we both booked the same episode of a series.
Way.
Yeah.
That's
and
it was
so, and it was somebody I would talk to like, you know, every year on his birthday, I'd be like, happy birthday, dude. How you doing? And then, but other than that, we never saw each other. He lived in a completely different part of LA. And even if you live in the same part of LA, sometimes it's hard to see your friends. Like, like you and I will see each other, what, every 3 months, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. Exactly.
By choice on my end.
And I'm like, he hasn't replied. It says red, but he hasn't replied. That's me every night.
Oh, is that a thing that says? Oh, boy. I got to stop reading things.
I didn't want to tell you, but you can turn that off. But I won't, because I want to know when you read, when you leave me on read, I want to know.
Okay,
I'm
gotcha.
Not explain
gotcha.
How to turn it off.
What I usually do is I read it, and then I hit one letter on there, and then just let it, so you get the three dots.
I got it. Or, and then like 2 weeks later, you hit send, and then the letter's just K.
K.
And it's like, I asked some questions. Brent just replied K.
It's not even one that could be known as a word. It's just usually like H.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be like, hey, do you want to eat at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles? Yeah, it's like P. It's like, okay, I'll talk to you later.
Oh, man. Well, I did have fun going to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles with you. It was delicious.
Yeah,
I hadn't been there for a while.
I'm definitely a mixer too. And that's why you like the Loco Moco then, because you have a mixer with egg, right?
But I haven't had a good one yet though. Like every time I've had it, the burger has been like, this tastes like it was like one of those burgers I would, if I was doing a cookout and I had bought like a million burgers and they're frozen.
The key to a good Loco Moco is that the burger is good on its own.
Okay.
You know, because a lot of people fall into a trap where they're like, well, we'll cover it with the gravy and the egg.
Yeah.
But really, if the burger's good, that's what brings the whole thing together.
Right. Yeah, because so, you can tell it's just like when somebody like they have BO and they just cover it up with something. I can still taste the BO. Look, if someone's Tom, if someone's underarm smell, what do? You go lick their underarms. But it's an insult in the Philippines. This is what we do. I will not be judged.
Yeah, you told me that was a cultural thing when you asked me to stick my tongue out and close my eyes.
That's
and
right.
Then you touched your underarm to it. You said that was a cultural thing, and then you're like, now you have tasted the BO.
Thank you.
Uh-huh, now I know.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like you're covering it up and trying to mask it, when really you should be making, you know.
Making it taste good, and then everything else accentuates it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. All right.
All right, well, I'll find a good Loco Moco, I'll let you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, I would love to. Mm-hmm. Or if you can tell me how to just make it on my own. What do I need, rice?
Oh, yeah, you need rice. Well, you need the gravy, and you need eggs. And then the burger, of course. So if you already have a good burger recipe that you like, then all we need to do is find out a good gravy recipe. Like, do you like it watery? Do you like it thick? Yeah. Do you put stuff in it, like onions and mushroom? Or do you want it plain?
That does
sound
good.
And then how do you like your eggs? You know, over easy scramble?
Over easy, for sure.
Same.
All right. Well, thanks for going to Roscoe's Chicken Waffles with me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That was amazing. If you would like to get more breakfast stuff, such as pics of Tom Michaels and I enjoying our breakfast from Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, go to my website, brentpope.com. You can listen to all the breakfast episodes there. You can see clips from all my TV appearances and the official breakfast store with a bunch of fun stuff. Shirts, mugs, stickers, masks, Tom Michaelson, Hawaiian, Palawan, slippers. Don't call them flip-flops or you will not. If you buy the flip-flops on the site, that'll be something entirely different.
Right. I hope you don't have flip-flops, breakfast flip-flops on your
That's right.
Site. Okay, good. Better not.
$18.95. I know that's expensive, but they were worn by Tom Michelson's feet.
Yes. Yeah, you can taste the BO. So get them while they're hot.
That's right. Literally.
Literally.
People of Earth, do yourself a favor by picking up something from the breakfast store. And if you enjoy the show, it really helps. Please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to breakfast. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Breakfast is now being enjoyed all over the United States and in 52 other countries, the latest, the Dominican Republic. So let's all have a glass of Morir Soñando. Welcome, Dominican Republic. And trust me, my breakfast burrito brigade, we are just getting started. Special thanks to my studio engineer, Marco Leon, and everyone at the fabulous Tiny Studio LA, thetinystudioLA.com, for making me sound so good. Tom Michelson, what's next for you and where can we find you on social media?
I perform sketch live at the West Side Comedy Theater. If you're in LA and want to come see a sketch, my team, Uninvited Guest, performs. It's a nice little spot. And so I'm on one of the resident teams there and we perform monthly. So there's live sketch there. And you can find me on social media at everywhere on Tom on the mic, T-O-M on the M-I-C.
Hmm.
So on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, I was going to say, maybe you'll have some fans and you'll have some listeners in Palau now.
Oh,
yeah, because my cousins and all those fans, they're going to be listening. And that so would let me be know. Let me know if you get some listeners in Palau.
Yeah, I'll look. I mean,
maybe 53 countries, people.
Ooh, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many countries are in the entire world? 200?
200 some or something? Yeah, I don't know.
I think I can get all of them.
Yeah, we can get all of them. We're on our way.
Well, Tom Michelson, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks,
always love talking to you.
Yeah, same, bro.
And with that, we put another Irish twin-worthy episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope in the old to-go bag. See ya.
I listen, okay? I know.
Nice.